I'm Christy.
And I'm Karen.
And you're listening to
The Modern Principal.
We're two school leaders who support current and future principals to modernize the approach to supporting students and staff in our schools.
We strive to do it all through our approach of scholar,
the research and evidence,
systems,
the structures that sustain,
and soul,
the emotions and human side.
And hopefully, we do it with a whole lot of laughs.
Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Karen.
Hi, Christy.
How's it going?
Just so good.
Christy's lovely sister, who's also our unpaid employee.
Yes.
She sometimes will talk a little like Napoleon Dynamite.
My sister used to create Napoleon Dynamite videos, and then she kind of actually used to create, like,
she's gonna love this.
Yeah,
she, like, won't listen, but she will get
created,
our blog,
like, Jackass
transcript
videos before Jackass, you know, like the prank videos.
She's brilliant.
And she was only like 10 or 12 at
she's
the time.
She's a visionary.
And then she got older and they got even better. And she used to send VHS tapes to me in college.
Oh my God,
and
I
would
so
have
much.
Like have all the girls on the floor. We would be like watching my sister's home videos.
That is too good. That is too good.
But anyway, she is now, yes, our unpaid employee.
So she also has this very distinct voice that she'll do it.
Like
and so sometimes I'll just crack into that voice and my husband will always be like, why are you talking like her?
But yeah, she used to do a lot of Napoleon Dynamite videos. And so she has like this kind of Napoleon Dynamite alter ego. And it's really hard not to pick up on it when you spend a lot of time with her.
And she's one of those people that's like hysterically funny, but does not intend for every part of it to, like,
yeah,
she's not overtly comical.
Yeah.
She doesn't put it in your face, but yeah, just telling.
So, anyway,
VHS is too. Okay. Anyways, that was a side note. Okay. So what was I talking about? Oh, anyways. One of our previous pods, you were talking about your first year of teaching, and I want us to do tales of teachers because we're elders now.
Yeah.
And Christy was talking about when she was a sub, when she had a sub on her first day
of my first year.
Yes. So I remembered in my first year, I think everybody remembers the first day you had a sub and you came back.
I definitely do.
Yeah. Markers destroyed everywhere. Well, I remember this was not my first time having a sub, but it was in my first year of teaching. And I came back and the note was like 7 pages long.
It's the worst.
And I was just overwhelmed. And my mentor was like, what would you do in real life if your friend, like if this was in real life and one of your friends acted this way in front of your boss, like, and made you look this way, what would you do? And I was like, I would next level petty. I would ice that girl out. And she's like, well, let's next level petty with our students in an appropriate way. So it was wonderful. I loved my mentor. So she was like, don't speak, let them own their behavior. And so the directions were written on the board and I did not talk. I just greeted them all. I said, hello, directions are on the board. And I was very like this for the first 2 hours. And the kids are just like, why are you so mad at us? It sounds like I was being, now that I tell it back, it does seem a little unnecessarily torturous, but they literally, I just kept handing them worksheets. And finally I was like, guys, that was really bad.
That was really embarrassing.
Like, there were fans thrown out the window. Like, we didn't have air conditioning.
Yep.
And we didn't have screens on our windows. And there were literal, thank you, dear. There were literal, like, kids were throwing fans out the window. Like, throwing textbooks, chucking them to the street. And so, by, like, an hour into my silent treatment, they all were just like, we'll never do it again. I would maybe check with your principal before you pull a stone.
Before
like that.
You ice out your students.
But it was.
But I don't.
It was a great lesson because they were like, we disappointed you. I didn't need to yell. I didn't need to use terms.
No.
I didn't need to say like,
here's your consequence.
Right. Like, they knew they messed up. They owned it. We moved on with a great rest of our day, but they knew that that's not okay.
I appreciate that because you weren't disrespectful. You weren't, you know, it's kind of a natural consequence. Like, that's how people interact.
Right.
Like if
you hurt me,
if I get mad at my husband, sometimes I just shut down. Mm-hmm. And it's super healthy and he loves that.
Well, and I know. You're welcome, dear. Well, and she was very good. My mentor was very good about, you have to talk to them about why you're doing it.
Right.
This.
You can't just, yeah.
And so when we finally
which
got to the point.
Also our marriage therapist. Yeah.
Which is, yeah, that's what the marriage therapist is.
Yes.
But when I was like, this this is embarrassing to me. This isn't okay. This is not how we are as a family. Mm-hmm. We don't treat guests like that. And the reason I wasn't able to talk is because I wasn't sure I was going to be able to be okay. Mm-hmm. And I had to wait until we could have this kind of conversation where you guys weren't arguing with me. And I was able to model that sometimes it's okay to not talk when you're not mm-hmm. sure you can have the, anyways,
it was really good.
I still maybe check with your principal. I don't want to get anyone in trouble. But it worked well for me back in 2004. Okay.
Back in 2000. Gosh, yeah, you're really
closing in on that. Okay. We watched, what did we watch last night? Oh my gosh, why am I forgetting it? It was a 2006 movie. Oh, but The Devil Wears Prada.
Oh.
My husband and I are doing.
Throwback.
Yeah, so there's this podcast called The Rewatchables.
Uh-huh.
And they just watch old movies and just talk about them. And so we've been working through some of their done pods on. So The Devil Wears Prada, I forgot how problematic it is.
That's how
it solidifies our 2006 eating issues.
Yeah, it's so bad to go back and watch so many movies.
And Stanley Tucci is sent from heaven. I will never he played that character well, but man, some of those lines were very troublesome.
Yep. It is wild to go back and be like, wow, this would not be okay. Wow.
Wow. But anyways, that was a great throwback. And I realized, oh my gosh,
I was like a full grown adult when this movie came out.
Well,
like,
I was 24, the same as our Queen Anne Hathaway was when she made it. Uh-huh.
Our queen.
Okay.
I was talking to a principal that I was coaching a few weeks ago, and the story I thought kind of fit in with our pod topic today.
Mm.
And so she is a newer principal, and her district is implementing new curriculum.
Yes.
And new materials on top of that. And so she was talking about going to, like, her and her staff had to go to, like, a district training, right?
Okay.
About the new materials. And they had an agenda for the day. And I thought it was so funny because one of the agenda, like, bullet points was literally mindset.
Oh, okay.
And basically that agenda point was to tell teachers that they needed to have a mindset, probably a good one, about the new materials. And I just thought that was so funny. I like chuckled. She didn't mean for it to be funny.
Uh-huh.
You know, like she was just like, yeah. And there was like these pieces. And she goes, and then, you know, they talked about mindset. And I just was like, they had a point on mindset, but then they also didn't really even teach the teachers how to use the materials and had no plan for how they would get PD throughout the year for the materials. And I just thought that was such a good, I don't know, demonstration of what your vision kind of looks like and how you're communicating your vision and your values all the time, that we think that we can just tell people to have a mindset and not actually help support in a real way them developing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm giving like looks because as a district leader, I've found it's harder and harder to do that work because I don't have those people over time like I did as a principal.
Right.
And so I was thinking through, like, the look on my face was like, have I had an agenda like that? Maybe.
Oh, I'm sure we all
because
have.
Well, and like the farther away you are from the people doing the work, the harder it becomes to live out the vision day to day. And so it is challenging to not have it be something you tell people, but rather something we do collectively always.
Yes, absolutely.
And it becomes like a thread of your,
and I think
your culture.
It's kind of a weird line too, right? Because in the last pod, you know, I talked about, hey, I like explicitly shared my values, right? And so I think there's a fine line between like what you share explicitly and what you share based on how well you plan and prepare and starting and ending on time and providing support.
Yeah. Like no matter, we had that quote in a pod about like your staff has to hear you say something 7 times. I wonder how many times they have to see it before they actually believe it's a true value of yours too.
Yeah.
And I also think it's funny now that you've done a little bit of like both worlds, the education life and the corporate life.
Yep.
The memes about, can you imagine working my job at AT&T if they made us spend 3 hours defining our why? Like, right? Like, how different
is
it?
Or like after you get like punched in the face by a kid and they're like, remember your why?
But like legitimately, our job is just so different because we are shaping like humans. Yeah. And so there is that human piece that you do have to.
Absolutely.
But we also know tongue in cheeky. Yeah. Just having.
It's a really tricky balance.
It is.
Because we do have a much more important purpose and outcome, right? Like
we impact destinies.
Yeah.
Right. But we also like having the conversation of the why is the humor, because if there's no carry out with it, it's just a conversation. So that's what our pod's about today.
Yes.
How to make it more than just a 30-minute session on let's talk about our why.
Yes. How do you sustain the vision? How do you keep it at the forefront? Because it's not that helpful. We talked about too, about how it's so annoying to go and have these 3, 4, 10-hour sessions on developing a vision, developing a why, and then not doing anything with it ever again.
Yep, where it just gets painted on some door sign and then you never talk about it again.
Yep.
So there's a lot of scholarly articles. Obviously, this is like the main thing we do in education, but a few, like the main thing we do is reach our goals, right? We set our goals and we reach them, or we try to. Or we reset our goals and
or we don't meet them.
Or we try again next year. But one of the big themes that popped out, and so I can't cite this to one particular thing, but that once you've set the vision, everybody has to know their specific role in carrying that out. And so it's one thing to say our school, what was your to from statement?
Yeah, to blank, so that.
To blank. Everyone knows that we want to... I didn't set the vision for this pod. Anyways, what does that look like for you, third grade teacher? What does that look like for you, facts teacher? What does that look like for you, special education paraprofessional? What does that look like for you, head custodian? And so sitting around and making sure everybody is clear on their actions that will take us closer to this vision. So one of the things I also read a lot about was to have frequent feedback sessions with your team. Build those in to every time you guys are together in small or whole groups. So every time you're in a PLC, every time you're having a conversation with a content team, every time you're together as a whole staff, always have sessions about how have your actions recently brought us closer to our vision.
Love that.
Mm-hmm. And so just making sure that even if you just have that as an agenda starter, every time you guys get together, what actions have you done recently that are bringing us closer to our vision?
I like that idea a lot. I used to have a slide template. And so any meeting that I created it from a slide template. And the reason I did that is because I had standing slides in every single meeting that we had. And part of those standing slides was a vision slide.
Yep.
And now that you're saying that, like I just had the vision on there and we would discuss kind of how this meeting related to the vision. But I really like that reflective piece of maybe even starting with, hey, we are going to talk about how this meeting pertains to the vision, but also let's talk about what we've been doing lately that pertains to it.
Yeah.
And helps us reach it.
I think there's two really good outcomes that come of that. One, you get people to start like internalizing their effectiveness.
Yes.
So you kind of create this collective efficacy throughout your team of like, my impact brought us closer.
Yes.
The other part is you can start to steal from others, right? So the more that everyone hears each other's actionable items, the more you can snatch and steal. We did that with principals this week. We all got together and made a big circle and everyone had to say one thing that they personally have impacted in the last week. And it was just like multiple people were like, oh, I'm going to steal that.
Absolutely.
So it's really powerful.
And still has purpose as opposed to just sharing generic ideas.
Or celebrations, right? Yeah. All of your celebrations should be coming back to your
vision. I like that. Vision. So I used to do, I started all of our staff meetings with the 3 C's. And so it was connect, celebrate, and then commit. And I think I maybe got that.
It's like, a little conscious discipline.
Yeah. I think I maybe modified it from conscious discipline. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking about how that celebrate piece was super generic, but that we could tie the celebration to that thing about what action brought us closer to our vision.
Yep.
I like that.
The other part is that I read about in scholarly work is that the only problems you choose to tackle are those that are connected to the hurdle of getting your vision. So as a team, you collectively decide that as a team, our work will be spent around solving problems that are hurdles to our vision.
That's a great idea.
Yep.
We used to try to keep our vision on all of our, I also had like an agenda template for all of the committees. And so they used the same format and we had the vision on it. I don't think we were as good about discussing about how our work in the committee was reaching the vision. Like we did maybe occasionally, but it wasn't as probably intentional as I would have liked it to have been.
Yeah. I think the other that piece.
Makes a lot of sense.
My memory's so smart. Mm. The other piece, we did a lot of these in our grad school, was SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. And I think having your committees or teams do this once or twice a year is really effective and all related back to your
back
vision.
To the vision.
So what are the strengths that we're doing connecting to our vision and goals? What are our weaknesses? Where are our opportunities to grow? And then where are our threats? So where are the hurdles popping up that we didn't potentially see that are now keeping us from reaching our vision?
I'm just like, I would.
Do you see me being in Reels next week with that? Boom. But I mean, I think the more, you know, shared and repeated, shared and repeated. The only way it's going to be shared is if it's frequently repeated. Right.
Yes. Very
and I think
good.
You and I did this, like all of my PD goals, all of my agendas, they literally had our vision goals.
Yes.
And nothing, we did not do PD for a couple of years that was not connected to those goals. And like, no matter, that was hard when the district was also encouraging us to do other initiatives.
Right.
And I couldn't figure out how they fit into our, which is also a problem.
I think too, as you're listening to this, we're being vague on purpose in terms of, I think your vision statement can be as, you know, big and as worldly as like Simon Sinek says, his why is to inspire people to do the things that inspire them so that together we can change our world.
Well, that's right?
Like,
very
that's
big.
And I think it's okay to have that too.
Right.
But you have to feel like, what? How does it work for you? Are you going to have a big overarching vision statement and then you're going to have more concrete goals underneath that for academics and behavior and culture and those sorts of things? You get to decide, and you and your team get to decide exactly what this looks like and what makes the most sense for you and your school community.
And I think doing some of the work we've already talked about, where people understand their roles, where people start talking about actionable items that got us closer, that will help you put more meat.
Yeah.
And even potentially create some goals and or put some language to the goals for people.
Right.
Another system that I think is really important to think about is how you're going to bring your families into this work. And so one of the easiest ways to do that was to tell your story through social media.
Yes.
And before you even have, like, I would always have a yearly parent teacher, like through my PTA meetings, PTO, where I would talk through our goals and our vision for that year and be. But before I even did that, I was planting seeds through what I was exposing them to in my newsletters and my social media, being really intentional about how I would label it. So every time I would take a picture of kids in action, I would connect that work back to how it's an actionable item getting us closer to our vision. And I wouldn't write, this is an actionable item. But if our vision was that we are going to let kids real world learning opportunities so that they understand why learning matters, then every time I captured that, I would caption my thing closer to that. That was not very good. That's not going to be turned into a reel. But you know what I'm saying.
No, that's really good. Really good.
We also would do a lot of classroom walks and talks. And I found it was really impactful to also do it when students weren't there and to see if the walls of the classrooms.
Yes, we did a lot of that too.
Told our story of our vision and like what was hanging. Is it relating to what our is that getting us closer to our goals and our vision?
We had a PBIS training at one point, and obviously this was, because it was PBIS, it was more directed at behavior, but like their idea was that when a student or anybody should be able to walk into a classroom, and whether you're blind or deaf, you should be able to know what the expectations and values are in that classroom, because the walls should have the expectations and the values of the classroom, and the teacher should always be reiterating the expectation and the values in the classroom.
Yep.
And so again, PBIS left out like the values piece. Theirs was more just on the behavior.
Yes, but you can make it work.
Yeah.
You would have like vision sessions,
So we, every year in the spring, I would put time on the calendar and we would have what I called vision sessions. And so we, there were usually about three sessions, about two and a half hours in length, and they were after school. And we also did them off campus. And so we got food, we got you know, drinks. They were always optional. We brought our chart paper. Sometimes we did them. One time we did them at like an event space in town. One time we did them at like a bank in their conference center. One time we just did it at like a pub.
Yes.
But we planned this time each spring to actually sit down and just talk big picture about where we are, where we want to go, mm-hmm. what things could we do the following year that would get us closer to our vision. It wasn't the time to hash out details. It was the time to say, we want to have a new school club focused on, I don't know, leadership, or we want a schedule that allows teachers more planning time. Mm-hmm. We might not get that schedule made. We're definitely not getting that schedule made in those sessions, but we dreamed of, hey, this is our end goal.
Wouldn't it be cool if, what if we could, those yes. kind of dreams.
And we just put aside time for those conversations. And I honestly believe that it was the best investment of all of our time.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, when you have like those summer meetings where you're planning for the next school year.
And actually doing
the committees mm-hmm. took all of those ideas. Again, recorded everything.
Right.
Took all of those ideas and the committees started to put those things into action.
Love it.
And it was beautiful. It was like my favorite thing about the
principalship. Well, and then it's truly a shared leadership mm-hmm. environment because everybody is very clear on their role, very clear yep. on their boundaries of what they can and can't influence yep. and very able yep. to navigate through
and
that.
Take all those ideas and prioritize what we felt like was possible for an actual next school year.
I think when visions get stuck on paper and not in practice mm-hmm. is when it's not involved with people.
Yep.
When people aren't clear about what they're able to do
yep.
in order to carry that out.
Yep.
One of the things that I think this was not a repeated phrase of mine, but of one of my former principals, now what, so what? So she mm-hmm. used to always say that, okay, now what, so what? What are we doing with it? So one of the things that we talked about last week when we were setting the vision was that we started it through stories. Mm-hmm. So I think it'd be really powerful to continue to tell Absolutely. Stories and write down those stories. And even this might be a great time to involve your parents
yep.
in yes. Some stories that they have. And then to continue to collect those as evidence to yes. celebrate your work and to continue to help staff embody.
Yes. We had actually thought about starting like a vision book where people mm-hmm. could write their stories and it would stay in the building as kind of
like a time capsule yeah. almost.
Yeah. And I thought how cool it would be if you had that to then share those stories through your newsletter. Like
yep.
Flashback Friday, here's a story from 2011,
right.
you know, that made us proud to be Blue Jays or whatever.
Yes. I think that's awesome.
The other thing that I think I did that kept our vision in front of us, and I didn't actually do this intentionally, it happened organically, was I told you that everything we did it on chart paper. And all of our brainstorming, all of our drafts, all of our ideas were on chart paper. And I kept every single piece of chart paper. And every time we had a vision meeting, I hung up the chart paper all over the space that we were in. And I remember one time we ended up having a vision meeting. I think it was like at a semester, like it was our last meeting before winter break.
Yeah.
And we had done this work for several years and I had chart paper that just lined the cafeteria. And it was just really cool to have people walk around and I put it in chronological order of like all the work that we had done.
That's awesome.
And I thought it was really powerful just because it was so much work and ideas and collective thinking and
yeah.
It was neat.
I think that for those of us that are the opposite of hoarders, that's challenging.
So it was just like one little roll. So I just stacked them all up and rolled it up.
You need someone that is a hoarder and organized to help you
with
that.
That's all I kept.
I love it. No, that's a really good idea.
But
I think that's great.
It was just really neat to yeah. actually see everything in action.
The other thing that does is it creates this kind of internal motivation for staff that we are going to have hard days. We are going to have days where it feels like our work doesn't matter.
Yeah.
and that our impact is lost. And so I think celebrations that are that intentional, that go back to those kind of things are so much more memorable than writing someone a quick note about one thing they did. So letting like people internalize their impact, I just think it's a really powerful way that we can keep our profession moving forward.
And like you said, it increases the collective efficacy, which is like basically the number one influence on if your billing is successful or not.
Right. And at the end of the day, what do people want when they come home from work? They want to know that they added value to an organization, to an impact, to an outcome.
Yep. That they're a part of something bigger than themselves.
Yeah. And no matter their role, I think that's really important. And so make sure you're also including those paraprofessionals.
Yes.
Those custodians, the food service people. Like, everybody is doing more than just the functions of their job.
Absolutely.
If you have a really high performing vision.
Yes. And again, we both recognize that there is a really fine line for this work. You have to be intentional about it. We think it's important to have a why. But if you don't have trust, and if you're not doing the day-to-day well, if you're not communicating well and following up, and you don't have content knowledge as a leader, this stuff might not matter. I think that's the hardest thing about being a principal, is that you have to do a lot really well in order to build trust. And so we definitely recognize that there's a fine line that you walk between being too vision-y and wasting people's time and also doing the day-to-day work. But our From the Desk of the Modern Principal today is from Peter Senge. If you've never read Senge's work, highly recommended. S-E-N-G-E. He's fantastic. Talks so much about systems, which are like, I just love it. But he also talks about a shared vision. And Peter Senge says, a shared vision is not an idea. It is rather a force in people's hearts. At its simplest level, a shared vision is the answer to the question, what do we want to create?
Yep. Love it.
Thanks for joining us today on the Modern Principal Podcast. If you enjoyed today's pod, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review. You can find out more on our website at www.themodernprincipal.com
or Instagram @themodernprincipal.